Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hyundai, supporting the drive to keep our distance. chse.ie for more.
That's Talking Heads in Life During Wartime. Do not adjust your wireless. You're on the right show. And this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around. It certainly isn't. And I'm joined now by Owen Devereaux, Professor of Punk and all things music related. And also Aoife McKenna, who's a vinyl DJ, is with us. So Owen, we'll come to you first. So Owen, you've done a playlist for us, which should be up on Spotify now, and it's a kind of a songs of survival playlist. So we'll talk through it a little bit and see what everyone else's songs of survival are. But how is social isolation treating you so far, Owen?
Okay. You know, like lots of other people, it ranges from being very reflective to being terrified as to what's actually going on in the world. Some of the choices of songs in the shortlist I did for yourselves reflects that. But having said that, I've noticed in the last couple of weeks the really positive uses of social media, particularly Spotify and Twitter. Every morning, the first thing I do is I post a song every day, and the song might be a very angry, energetic song, or it might be a very reflective song. And I've done a much longer list on Spotify as well that lots of people have been connecting with and talking about and debating and so on. So I suppose ultimately, for me, music, reading, gardening, I mean, like lots of many other people, music is so important in these dark days.
It really is. Like, I mean, even for those of us who love music before, music is so powerful right now, isn't it?
It is. And I included, for example, David Bowie, Where Are We Now, which is obviously a very reflective piece of music. And when I teach about David Bowie in University of Limerick, one of the things I say to my students is that when people talk about Bowie and they talk about maybe many of his songs, a bit like Joy Division, they have dark themes and so on. But ultimately, when fans talk about David Bowie and his music, they see David Bowie and music more generally as a kind of reservoir of hope. You know, so music and songs can catch a mood, a feeling. So yeah. Life During Wartime is interesting in that, okay, it's ostensibly a song about war, but there are elements in that song. It was going around in my head as I was gardening during the week, particularly because there's all this stuff in there about, you know, about having enough food and being in a lockdown and so on, and just the surreal nature of the whole thing.
Yeah, funny thing is, I hadn't been listening to Talking Heads in ages, and I've been listening to Once in a Lifetime a lot recently because it does convey that kind of slight dislocation of this time a little bit. What were the other criteria for getting on the list then?
Well, as I say, I have a much longer list, but so for the short list for yourselves, it ranged from, you know, it reminded me, Brendan, I started probably a bit like yourself. I started in pirate radio back in the 1980s at 14. I had a punk radio program in Limerick. And I've often thought in recent years, if you could go back and listen to the radio programs I did then, you'd be able to tell down to the song what kind of humor I was in. And the playlist, in a way, is a bit like that. So the songs ranged from Bjork, you know, It's Oh So Quiet, to David Bowie, the reflective piece. A few dreamy pieces there. The Cranberries are there. Slow Dive, a band that I've rediscovered in recent years. And then there's more energetic music like The Fall, and very dancey music like, I know you're a fan of New Order, the True Faith. There's a particular mix of True Faith in the mix there as well.
Yeah, and we will come to that in a minute. Now, you mentioned Bjork and It's Oh So Quiet.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of not your typical kind of Bjork song in the sense that it's kind of a big band extravaganza in a way, like something out of a musical. Why did you pick that? And we'll play a bit of it in a minute.
And again, just that kind of contrast, the structure of the song. So it ranges from, if you think of your streets, even around your house at the moment, you know, like the world is deathly quiet at the moment. So that's what made me think about it.
Yeah.
But then the joy when she takes off. A former student of mine was on Twitter there last week saying that she was dancing around her apartment in some far-flung zone in continental Europe. That gave me a great laugh, you know, that people were now dancing to my playlists.
Yeah. And listen, a bit of dancing at home these days, I find, is a very therapeutic thing. Okay, let's take a little bit of Bjork. It's Oh So Quiet.
It's oh so quiet. so still. So peaceful until you fall in love. Simple, the sky up above. Simple is caving in. Wow! You never been so nuts about a guy. You wanna love, you wanna cry. You cross your heart and hope to die till it's over, and then it's nice and quiet. But soon again, starts another big riot. You blow a fuse.
That's Bjork there, and that actually worked. I have to say that worked for me. Even Akana, what kind of music is getting you through this period?
Well, I follow Owen on Twitter anyway. I picked a few. Run the Jewels, Everybody Stay Calm. They're infected. I know we spoke about they're before on the show.
Funny, again, my Dede song at the moment is Slow Motion Replay, which it practically at the moment brings me to tears.
They've been sharing a lot of their songs on Twitter too. Japan, Quiet Life. Velvet Underground, All Tomorrow's Parties. That will give me a bit of hope as well.
Yeah. Lovely. Owen, we're going to play another track from your playlist. Now, this is the Boomtown Rats, and it's from their. They released an album, 2 weeks ago?
On the 13th of March it came out.
Yeah, and I admire the chutzpah of them doing it and everything else, and I've seen them live in the last few years, and they're still a fantastic live band. Album, I stuck with the Boomtown Rats right to the end, up to In the Long Grass, but I would say the jury is a bit out on this album. What do you reckon?
I like lots of the album, I'm a fan, and I suppose a declaration of interest. I've just been involved in a documentary about them recently
which is a fantastic documentary. Worth a watch.
I like the record, and I was one of my big disappointments, and I know it's a first world problem, but I was about to go and see them in Brighton there last week, and of course everything in the UK was pulled. But I included them because I like that particular song. To me it reeks of David Bowie and Eno guitars and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I suppose one of the things about the Rats and music more generally is that the time that I have on my hands, and I'm doing a lot of teaching and doing lots of stuff in the day job, but I have an awful lot of time now to listen to music. So I've been going through back catalogues, and the Rats were one of the bands that I've gone back to listen to a great deal in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, so we're going to take a little bit of Trash Glam Baby, and I need to warn people, there might be a bit of choice language in this. Boomtown Rats there and Trash Glam Baby. I would say Oasis would have a thing or two to say about the opening of that song, but anyway, it's not as if they're difficult or litigious guys. Aoife, there's one other thing we wanted to mark today as well, which is that you're a big Doc Martin person, and today is the Doc Martens this week celebrated their 60th birthday party, and you were going to tell us a little bit, but we don't have a huge amount of time now, just tell us about the history of the Doc, which is a great icon of and a signifier of so many subcultures.
Absolutely. It would have been invented by a German guy back in 1945 who was an ex-soldier who hurt his foot skiing, which kind of makes loads of sense because, you know, the Doc Martin has really good support on the ankles, and then it has that classic bouncy sole.
So it was a medical implement originally.
It was, and a lot of older people and workmen and that wore it. It was adopted. The English family that were kind of that specialised in hard wearing shoes made an alliance with Dr. Martin to and they collaborated and they invented, they made the style of the sole a little bit more bubblier, and they have the classic yellow stitching in it too. But that was adopted by all these different subcultures.
And when did it first kind of pass into youth culture then?
Well, it was 1960. The English family took over the Doc Martin, and it would have, I think it was Pete Townsend was the first celebrity, so it was mid-60s.
Okay.
Obviously, the punks, the skinheads, the mods adapted that then in the 70s, and in the 80s would have been when I was wearing them too. So, and
And what were you in the 80s?
Oh, an alternative kid. Yeah, I liked punk. It was post-punk, I suppose, you know. So I thought the punks were cool, so they were wearing them. So I wanted a pair of these.
Yeah, and it was a little bit of punk that we could all have, even if we couldn't have the full lifestyle. And still, the docs are still going strong.
Like, I mean, I go to a lot of underground techno clubs now, and, you know, particularly the women. I love docs as well because you can wear them with dresses too. But, like, every second young cool trendy kid in Dublin is wearing Docs
still
now
on
again.
The go. Oh, and you're a Doc Martin person as well, aren't you?
I'm the Imelda Marcus of Doc Martens. I collect them. I mean, it's really interesting to see how Docs have, they were used in borstals, they were used by postmen and women, they were used in the army, and then their affinity with mod, skin, boot boy and punk culture. And even now, you know, I've been teaching lately about sort of punks in their 50s, and even though they've become conformists and so on, you can still see, you know, maybe the hair is gone, but if you look at their shoes, their boots, their red Doc Martens, it's always a sign that they're really indie kids, punks at heart. So they're a great boot, a great shoe.
Okay, and Owen, that playlist is up on Spotify. Aoife, thank you very much. And Ray, thanks for staying. I didn't get to ask you one song for survival at the moment, Ray.
I give it something from Bill Withers, sure.
Something from Bill Withers. Okay, excellent. Look, that's all we have time for today. Today's show was produced by Tom Donnelly. Research was by Michelle Brown. Emily Hurley was our broadcast coordinator. On sound was Andrew Kane. And the series producer is Anne Farrell. Thank you very much for listening. And look, try and have a good day for the rest of your Sunday. And we're going to finish up now with another song from that playlist. And this is New Order and True Faith.